Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Last Days. My name is Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, and so we are heading back to Canada, and we're at this rest stop, and we have to do an interview. Of course, we never stop because you can't let what is this? You can't let it all go. Oh, that's not right. That should not be there. Okay, you can't let it, you know, all the work go when there's too much to tell, and you can't stop just because you're traveling across the country. So we're in Illinois. We love it. I think Chicago is what, due north, northeast kind of? A little bit northeast. And the nicest people, we came to a rest stop. Beautiful trees everywhere you can see. So we're kind of enjoying for the moment because we were feeling a bit tired. And so all along the way, I've been listening to some podcasts and stuff. I want to play something from Peter McCullough here. I mean, this is the way that we do a show when, you know, we're not actually in a studio or in a place where we've got access to better equipment. But, you know, so I was up early this morning and I turned on Lance Wall. Now, as you guys all know, I really appreciate him. And they are having a fit down here in the United States of America because of Biden's message the other day. And basically, he's calling half of the country, you know, these fascists, dangerous terrorist types, right? The people that support Donald Trump. And so there is something very, very odd going on, that everything that they are, they're accusing the peaceful people of. And see, I know all about this because that is exactly what happened to the truckers in Ottawa. The Freedom Convoy represented a peaceful group, unarmed, who fight for all Canadians to have bodily autonomy. And because they did that, they were labeled terrorists, bigots, racists of all things, while the crowd was full of people of all color. Very interesting that when Biden says that they're dangerous, actually he's dangerous. When he says that they, the MAGA crowd, as they call it, make America great again crowd, who stand for freedom, who are nonviolent, they're violent. They have nothing to say about the pillaging and burning and killing that happened. Was it a year ago, or, you know, Black Lives Matter and all of those big riots that were going on? You know, the one where the reporter would be standing there with flames, you know, burning a building down behind him. And he says, yeah, it's mostly peaceful here. Complete blazing lies. What happened then? Oh, the Democrats were saying, we're going to pay their bail to get out of jail. We're going to help them to get out of jail. But when people say that you've had people, I think there's three or four people that were imprisoned after four people that have died. Sorry. So there's four people that have died after being imprisoned in the United States of America that have never faced trial. They just simply died. I think a couple might have committed suicide after being put into jail after January 6th. Now, say what you want to about Donald Trump, but I will tell you something. I spent a lot of time talking to the J6ers who were there. I've spent a lot of time looking at video. I've seen people that prayed in there. I know they have Dr. Simone Gold in jail right now for simply kind of walking into the building as the police kind of removed the barricades in some areas and welcomed them and were peace-loving. You can see the police giving hugs to some of the freedom people. Now, a couple of the police involved that day, I believe they've also killed themselves. Their reputations were so tarnished. So we have a nation in absolute upset. And what they say that their enemies are is actually what they are. They're dangerous. They have riots. And when they do, Kamala Harris will bail them out of jail. And top levels of government will tell them that, well, you know, we're not going to stop. Keep going. Of course they're angry. You know, this is the way that they should be. Well, maybe other people are angry, but MAGA people are not running around hurting anyone. They are not bringing guns and threatening people, whilst the other side has threatened the Supreme Court judges. And there's what the guy who invented the mRNA, Malone, Dr. Malone, called this mass formation. And do you know, Tucker Carlson did a segment on Thursday night. Everyone, we need to catch it. Let's be sure to get that for the show on Monday on mass formation. And this is what's happening. Before every catastrophic event caused by man in our lives, mass formation would take place. And that was where people become delusional beyond belief. And by the end of that, they feel so entitled that they are correct. And then the media has supported that. Oh, there's an ant. The media has supported that. And government supports the perspective that they feel entitled that possibly they can take other people's lives because they are the vermin of society. Something very strange is going on. And you see it in Canada with our prime minister talking about diversity is our strength, talking about inclusivity, not bullying, all at the same time that he's saying, if you're unvaccinated, you better not think that you can get on a train or a plane or sit beside someone at a bus park bench. You know, he's so completely unaware of this complete dichotomy in his thinking. It's absolutely shocking. And it's really like a psychological experiment going on in our societies right now, as mainstream media refuses to acknowledge sudden adult death syndrome as being caused by anything, but, oh, we don't know. We don't know what it could be. Dr. Peter McCullough in this talks a little bit about here. I'll see if I can just get up ahead a little bit, but take a listen for a moment.
One of the podcasters went over one of my standard lectures called The Five COVID Truths and lined up the most recent CDC guidance to this, which was astonishing. Basically, the five COVID truths is that, you know, fundamentally with respect to testing and nasal carriage of the virus, there is no difference between a fully vaccinated and an unvaccinated individual. They're indistinguishable from one another. They carry the virus at the same viral loads. They're equally as contagious. They get the infection with kind of an equal proclivity. And so we have a situation now where there is absolutely no scientific support for any form of mandate on someone taking a vaccine or a booster.
I see these headlines out of the British Medical Journal and others. They're just shocking now. Headlines like 9 out of 10 people that die with COVID are double or triple vaxxed. And NBC, as you mentioned, the CDC had saying, oh, sorry, we got it wrong. Or we see Burke saying, oh, we knew it wasn't going to work. And then we see all these other statements. It looks like they're trying to get ahead of more data they know is coming out.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Two papers in 2021, one by lead author Wheatley, had in the title immune imprinting. What this means is that the vaccines were given every 6 months, exposing the body to the same exact obsolete antigen, the Wuhan spike protein. This turned out to be an immunologic disaster. What happened was the body's immune system was trained in on a high exposure of this antigen in critical organs and tissues, and it was misdirected. So when the infection actually happened, when they're frail and vulnerable, there were higher rates of hospitalization and death in the fully vaccinated. Now in Ontario, they have data. You know, 9 out of 10 people who are dying of COVID-19 are fully vaccinated. There were basically 3 false claims of the vaccine program. The first false claim was the vaccine stopped the infection. If you took the vaccine, you couldn't get it. That quickly eroded thousands of breakthrough cases reported through 2021. The CDC gave up on this in May of 2021, where they basically said, we're not going to follow breakthroughs. There's too many of them. The second false claim was that the vaccines basically blocked transmission. And our Walensky had to come out in the summer 2021 and say, listen, They don't stop transmission. People fully vaccinated give it to one another. It was happening during weddings, cruise boats, naval ships. And then the last false claim was this, Alex. The false claim was, well, if you take the vaccine, there's a consolation prize and that you will have a milder case or you won't be hospitalized or die. And there was even ridiculous memes on the internet. One of them was a guy who gets COVID and he dies. And he said, thank goodness I had a vaccine. It could have been better.
It could have been worse.
It could have been worse, right. So the idea is that the vaccines never reduced hospitalization and death. There never was a prospective randomized trial with hospitalization and death as a primary endpoint where that was reduced by the vaccines.
I just want to say something here. Somebody recently said to me, you know, oh, well, we took the vaccine, so we didn't get a bad case of it. I'm like, I didn't get a bad case of it. I wasn't hospitalized. And I'll tell you what, even my father, he would have died of neglect in the hospital, not necessarily of COVID at all. Even though he had COVID pneumonia, I gave him hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Somebody wanted me to say what doses I gave, and I gave two of the, I think they're 150 milligrams of hydroxychloroquine, two of those and two ivermectins as well. So he had two hydroxychloroquine, two ivermectin in the day, and my dad perked up within 24 hours. And I sat there, I fed him, I took care of him. But when people say, oh, I had the vaccine, I didn't have a serious, well, neither did any of my family or anyone I know. Most people have done very well. And those that didn't, in every single case, never had access or the right dosage of ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine in every single case. So big whoop on your dumb, you know, oh, I took the vaccine, so, you know.
Hospitalization, death, are having the illness beforehand, natural immunity, and then early treatment. So there was a series of fraudulent studies that didn't account for natural immunity and early treatment, claiming that the vaccinated had lower rates of hospitalization and death. I can tell you in my practice, if I have somebody who's fully vaccinated, they are the most fearful of COVID-19. They're the first ones to get early treatment, the first ones. And so without accounting for those variables, we had a whole series of fraudulent papers claiming that the fully vaccinated had lower rates of hospitalization and death. And then, as you point out, the data poured in from Canada, the UK, Israel, Europe, South Africa, and Australia, clearly showing when they account for who's been fully vaccinated, that indeed the fully vaccinated are doing far worse with COVID-19 than those who are unvaccinated.
Wow.
So that's amazing. And there's a lot more there that I want to share with you, but I just encourage you to go and see that. You know who that is. It's InfoWars. Go check it out. Such good information. Dr. Peter McCullough, it's a September 3rd interview. It's fantastic. I want to get to our guest today. And so let me just say something that on Epic Times today, there's an article and it says millennial experienced before. So, experienced 84% rise of excess mortality into the fall of 2021. A former BlackRock portfolio manager is putting this out. His name is Edward Dowd, a former Wall Street analyst. He is an analyst. He is not a doctor. He looks at numbers. And millennials, 84% rise of excess mortality. Are you getting that news on CBC, CTV, or Global? Are they telling you that every day? I don't think so. And they should be, but they're not. Well, my guest today is an amazing man. He caught on to something early. He's also kind of a data guy. And he thought he was hearing this sudden death thing that was happening. And so he created a Facebook page where people, it's a private page, and folks can give their stories. And we're kind of proud of this because we had Glenn Jessam on, and Tiago, is it Hernandez? Am I getting Enrique? Okay, sorry. Hey, let's bring Tiago on before I ruin his name any more. So Diego, tell me if this is true. We kind of had, we had Glenn on and we mentioned your site. And I remember that day on the show, we signed up, we went to it. You had about just over 9,000 followers. And Diego, tell me about this site and what you're at right now.
It started about 14, 15 months ago. And like you mentioned, I started noticing all these deaths in the media. I've seen a few here in Nova Scotia where I live. So I decided to start posting all these deaths that were happening in the media. But I started noticing when somebody would post their private personal experience, it got a lot of views, got a lot of attention. It happened organically. And then we started organizing the data, organizing the stories in a digestible way for everybody to understand. And it just grew from there. It started gaining popularity and it's exploded. I think we're at 160,000 members, if I'm not mistaken, last time I looked. I actually don't look at the membership anymore. So I get, people like Glenn Jessam, he sends me snapshots and pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, Diego. And you have found a way to sort of bring good information to people and bypass the mainstream media. And we're not getting good information right now. The only way that we're finding out about things is through people that we know, shows like myself, people that are independent producers. And sometimes, we rail on Facebook, but I have to say, I'm really appreciative that Facebook is giving an opportunity for real people to actually disclose that they've had a death in the family or a harm or injury. And it's outside of what can be controlled at this time until Trudeau levels one of his bills to shut us all down. But to help people to understand the truth and the magnitude of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's devastating. For me, it's bittersweet. Although I'm proud of the success and everybody in there, and they're very compassionate people in there. And then the other side of me, I feel bad because, I wish I didn't have to do a site like this. I wish, I maybe did a site on how to bake good cookies, or something like that. So it's bittersweet for me, but it's getting the word out there. I've developed a artificial intelligence software. So that way, when somebody posts on there, it'll capture a picture of it. And then it'll tell me all the keywords, all the phrases and whether or not to post it or not. So basically, it's almost not identical, but it's very close to what the Facebook algorithm, and I patterned it after the Facebook algorithm. So we haven't had any strikes or anything major like that happen. So I think it's pretty good.
Right. You've taken sort of those precautions to get people to call it a certain thing, right?
Yes.
And
yeah.
Bypass.
Yes.
All of that. What are some of the stories that are most alarming and that you've been most shocked by?
Probably the children. Probably like teenagers just dropping dead of heart attacks, strokes. It's starting because I see all this data coming in real time. So I think I have the best bird's eye view of all these thousands of stories coming in. And it's almost as they're giving, let's say, for example, the vaccine rollout for the 16-year-olds and above. Maybe a month or two later, I can already start seeing those stories coming in of my son dropped, my nephew dropped, and passed away. So those are the most disturbing ones. And they're getting younger, and I'm noticing they're getting younger and younger and younger, and very, very aggressive cancers. And another one that surprises me is these cancers, the person will get the cancer, and then like 2-3 weeks later, they're dead. It's very, very quick, very sudden. So it's, it's shocking to read some of these things. I read them, but I don't when I scan them. I try not to get too emotionally, involved in it. So, that way I keep focus on what needs to be done.
So the site, everyone, is Died Suddenly News. And do you think, Diego, you've found sort of a trend that is currently happening unreported really by mainstream media? I'm sure you've heard of Alberta, that recently their highest death death counts are in no cause. You know, they can't figure out what it is. Gee, I wonder what's kind of been introduced into our society in the last couple of years that now the highest death toll is, you know, that they can't give an answer to it.
I can give you an answer.
Yeah.
We all know what it is. And there, I think the beautiful part about this is I've discovered a little, I guess you can call it maybe a system of reporting things, but I think, you know, I want to take it to the next level. I want to still, you know, do my own platform and that like a freedom platform for that kind of thing. And that way people can come, they can report it. There's going to be statistical analysis. The data is never going to be sold. It's going to be open source to the whole world. Anybody can plug into our API system and download that data. So you'll know where everybody's from, geographical location, all that kind of stuff. So right now I have everything saved on my hard drive. My artificial intelligence software program is trying to decipher and divide everything up into groups and subgroups. We're also going to have a large percentage of our membership is faith-based. So on the platform, I think we're going to have a section for the faith-based membership. I'm going to welcome them with open arms. It's going to be a platform that is free from harassment, judgment, ridicule, anything like that. I don't put up with any nonsense of people making fun of people or censorship. I think the era of censorship is coming to an end, to be honest with you. Like, there's going to be people like me and, you know, many other people who are going to try to create their own platforms and that are going to, I think, far surpass and rival places like Facebook and Instagram.
You know, I really pray that that's true. And the other growing number of people that we're seeing and that are writing me, and this has just started happening literally in the last 2 weeks, is those that have taken the vaccine. And they're now aware and they are very afraid. They're very afraid that those spike proteins are affecting them and that they could be the next story. And so your prayer group is so important. It's one of the things that we're taking on this next tour that I'm doing across Alberta and British Columbia is an opportunity for real-time prayer for those that are afraid or are experiencing a vaccine injury or are worried about the future. This is a place where we have to feel safe and prayer does work. And so I'm really glad to hear that you've got that going on. I'm also glad to hear that you do have this safety, don't you? Like you, even if Facebook takes this all down, you've got all the stories, they're categorized and photographed and it's all safe.
I have all the data. They can, you know, they can't stop me from taking the data or taking pictures of the data with an artificial intelligence software that I have. I wrote it in a code called PyTorch, which is an easy, it's not, you know, that difficult for me to do. So it's pretty simple. I started a GoFundMe page to help raise money to help me fund it. If there's going to be faith-based, any kind of faith that you are, whether you're Muslim, Christian, Catholic, whatever you are. And then, you know, we're going to have the main section for all the, you know, non-faith people. And then we're going to have, you know, it's going to be split up into different sections.
Right. Someone who would like to go sort of into a separate room or something if they're comfortable with that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And I'm kind of getting tired of what I'm seeing across Canada and across the world with certain faith groups, let's say, being targeted. I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to put up with any nonsense like that on the platform. So I don't put
well,
up
I'll
with it
now.
I'll
tell you something. So. I'm not experiencing the Christian bashing like I used to. There's something, you know, I have a unique site where I'm openly Christian and I even read the Word of God at the end of every show. And I am just having growing numbers after numbers because there's something about adversity. There's something about when the enemy seizes and attacks. And this has been an attack. It's been a global attack on mankind. And the devil is a liar from the beginning, and he always, always, and he's a murderer. The word of God says that Satan was a murderer. Lucifer is a murderer from the beginning. So his plan is to take out mankind. So this is a very, this has caused everybody to look deep within them and to think a lot about the brevity of life, the preciousness of life, and about the afterlife. What might happen if I'm one of those people? Dr. Peter McCullough, in this interview that I had just shared, he went on to tell a story that he met these two ladies recently at a coffee shop. They recognized him and they wanted a picture. And she said, I have to tell you, I went to the senior citizen's home. I got my dad and took him to get his shot because that was the thing to do. Mm-hmm. And he died on the way back to the senior yes. citizen's home.
Yeah. It's normal. Yeah. I hear those kind of stories every day. The rise, another statistic I thought I'd let everybody know is I've been getting a lot of people messaging me that have taken one or two or maybe three. And now they're really scared. They read all those stories on there and they're really scared. They're crying. They're making arrangements for their passing. It's tough. It's a tough thing. We're in a bit of a tough situation. I don't think it's going to get, any better in the short term. I think this is more, we have to think long term for this kind of thing. So it's going to be tough. But
you're absolutely right, because there's a new study that's out, mm-hmm. Diego, a brand new study that's out, and somebody has found out what the problem is with the spike proteins being in the heart, that it's when they're building up and then you have a surge of, when you're exercising and you get adrenaline. Speak louder. I can't hear. I got these things on. Adrenaline to your heart. That is then kicking in something and causing, because a lot of times you're seeing that all of these athletes, they're dying while on the field, while they're in full, athletic mode, that's when they're being taken out.
Yeah, I think there's another reason also. I mean, you're right. It does. Essentially, what's going on is it's heavy metal poisoning, obviously. It could be nanocomposite materials. I'm not too sure. It wouldn't surprise me if they are. But I think a compounding effect of what's happening is, don't forget, these athletes, many of them, I hate to say it, but they're on performance enhancing drugs. So when they're on these drugs, what happens is it thickens up their blood. They have a lot of red blood cells. So let's say, for example, they're taking testosterone cypionate, trenbolone, or Anavar, any kind of these anabolic drugs. Their blood is already thick. So when they take these, government mandated medications, it compounds that effect. It makes their blood even more thicker. And a great example of this is back in the 1970s and 80s, during the Tour de France, a lot of cyclists were dying. And the reason is because they were taking a drug called EPO. It's the same drug that Lance Armstrong took. And what this drug does, it stimulates the kidneys to make more red blood cells. So it thickens up their blood. And they didn't have a doctor looking after them like Lance Armstrong did. And they took too much, and what happened was their blood got too viscous, got too thick, and they died. So this is nothing new, but now in regular sports, let's say Tour de France, they actually have doctors, monitoring all this kind of stuff. So I think the combination of performance enhancing drugs and the medication, it's a very bad combination, because many bodybuilders right now are dropping. The former Mr. Olympia, Sean Roden, just passed away not long ago, and he won the Mr. Olympia, a couple of years ago. So this is not new. I've been seeing this trend in the sports athletes for about 16 months now.
It really is a very shocking time. And Diego, I love what you've done. People are asking where they can follow you. So Facebook, clearly. Have you already set up that other site or like a?
No, I just started getting the GoFundMe page up. So I program in Python. I could do the back end work. To do a new platform, you need what's called a front end developer, a React programmer, and they cost like $100 an hour for a decent programmer. So I started a GoFundMe page. You guys can message me directly on Facebook and just check me out on Facebook. So yeah.
I
And we
love
got
it.
back
Guess
up to
what,
normal.
Diego? Just
What's
in
that?
time, it's starting to pour. I
Oh,
mean,
goodness. All
really
right.
rain.
No worries.
So I love you, brother. Everybody, go to this site. We can join and be part of the conversation and also get the information, right?
Absolutely.
So,
Much, much love to you and your husband and everybody watching around the world. Thank you. Much love
okay,
to
God bless
everybody.
you, brother. Thank you for what you're doing. And let's do this again and talk about, how it all progresses.
Absolutely.
Oh,
Thank you
wow.
so much.
Okay, bless you. All
Bye.
right, everybody. My website is lauralyn.tv, and we're always here working, rain or shine. I know you maybe can't see it, but we've had to cover everything with. I gotta show you this. Hang on. Okay, this is this is how we work. I don't know if you can see the rain, but. Okay, it's starting to come down. I love you so much. Thank you everyone for staying with us. We'll see you soon, heading to Canada. The dates are starting in Edmonton, September the 7th. And so we're on our way. We're going to be picking up a wonderful speaker on the way there as well. And so take care. God bless. Thank you for standing strong, everyone. Remember, we win, God wins. He is so faithful. He has it's easing up a little. You look so funny. He always has a good plan, and we don't need to be afraid. And yes, there's some very bad news, and definitely that's what we end up talking about sometimes, but we don't need to be afraid because God is fully in charge. And I don't want to leave you with something like we talk about today. All of this bad news with any sadness in your heart, let's pray. Do you know what I believe? I do have a few people that I know that really believe that God completely protected them. And many people have received the vaccine. There's a couple of things at play. There's saline solution that has been in and around. And let's just pray that God literally protected our loved ones and our family when they took the vaccine. I know for me, I prayed for everyone that I knew that was taking the vaccine. I just said, Lord, they're not, they don't know. And would you just protect them so that they can, get past this? And as everything's coming out, we're all going to be wiser. So I'll let you know something that God always honors our faithfulness to Him. As we are faithful to God, He will be faithful to us. He is the great protector, He is the great provider. And I know that as we trust him, we're going to get through it all. Take care, everybody. God bless. Have a great day. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
It's not easy to deliver the truth of what our sick world is doing, but for some of us, we feel that we have no choice. Because if we are silent about these abominable things, then we are letting evil go unchecked, and we cannot do that. For those of you wonderful people who are writing me and are sharing your encouragement, I am deeply grateful. Thank you for all the letters that you've been sending. Thank you for the donations and the support. I found out that in order to speak the truth, you have to become very, very strong. If you would go to my website at www.lauralyn.tv, you'll find all of the ways that you can contact me. Remember, my friends, all is well. All is well. Thanks for joining me.